From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our gospel program. We're going to be turning to John chapter 15, this wonderful chapter about the true vine and its branches, and begin a study of that portion today. Tonight at 9 o'clock, we will be continuing our study of a subject that is very much in the news of late. The overall title that we have given our series of studies is The Universal Lament of Parents Over Wayward Children. And tonight we're going to be considering the failure of parents and its impact upon children's behavior. Please join us for that program. And of course, if you would like tapes of the three messages from which we are taking these studies, then you have only to contact me. We will have a hymn before we turn to John 15. The hymn is by Charles Wesley, Give Me the Faith That Can Remove.
Give me the faith which can remove and sink a mountain to a plain. Give me the childlike praying love which longs to build my love again. Thy love let it my heart empower and all my simple soul devour. I would a precious life release and longer live for this alone, to send and to reach that for them who are not yet my Savior known. Only on thee thy mission prove, and only breathe thy love. My talents, gifts, and graces, Lord, into thy blessed hand receive, and let me live to preach thy word, and let me to thy glory live. My every sacred moment spent in publishing the sinner's
Our subject today is the parable of the true vine. We're looking at John chapter 15 and the verses 1 to 6. The correct understanding of a parable may only be arrived at if we treat it as does the forestry man a tree when he fells it. As the main trunk of the tree is the part which will provide useful timber and the branches are to be discarded, so it is with parables. There is a main lesson set forth by each one, but we must be careful not to press a meaning upon the lesser details of the parable. If we do not follow this rule, we may end up in error, sometimes very serious error. In this parable, the relationship between the Father, Christ, and his people are illustrated under the likeness of a vine and the vine dresser. First of all, learn that the relationship between Christ and his people is very close. He is the vine, and they are the branches. What a wonderful picture this presents to us. It's so simple that a child may understand it. The life of the branch depends upon its union with the parent tree. The fruit of the tree relies upon the union that it has with the branch. The branch depends upon that union with the tree for its life. The sap from the tree conveys the life whereby its leaves, its buds and flowers, its fruit grow. Sever the branch from the tree, and the branch withers and dies. So it is with the child of God. It is our union with Christ which is our source of spiritual life and vitality. We have no life or power independent of him. It is in him, and through him, and by him, that our every need is supplied. As that close communion between our souls and Christ is maintained by the grace of the Holy Spirit, so we live and move and have our being. We stand and walk and run in the Christian path and progress on the Christian's pilgrimage to heaven according to the grace we draw from our union with Christ. It is comforting to know that we are maintained and sustained by Christ, as is the branch by the tree. As long as the tree lives, so will the branch. We looked at the words of Christ to his disciples in the previous chapter last week, when the Saviour said, "Because I live, ye shall live also." John 14 and the verse 19. We have no reason to despair of our reaching heaven, for that is in the keeping of Christ. We will not be left to ourselves and to our own strength. Secondly, note that there are false Christians to be found amongst the true. There are branches which bear no fruit, and thereby show that they do not truly belong to the Saviour. They have the appearance of being Christians, but it's merely an outward and formal attachment. They do not have a real and vital and living union with Christ. Conversion to Christ is likened unto a branch being grafted into a tree. Paul uses this likeness in Romans chapter 11, the verses 17, 19, 23, and 24. In grafting, a branch of one tree is inserted into an incision in the trunk of another, and a union is formed, and the branch begins to partake of the sap of its new parent tree, and thus lives. That is what happens to the dead sinner. He is grafted into Christ and begins to partake of his life and power and grace. But many who profess to be Christians have not this experience. They mingle with Christians and associate themselves with the things of God. They sit at the communion feast. They have been baptized and they profess to be saved. But there is not a true graft formed. They have listened to sermons and partaken of sacraments and attended services, but they never have been engrafted to Christ by faith. They are not partakers of his life. They are not true branches. They are like the ivy branches, which may be seen flourishing on a tree. Those branches appear to be growing from the tree, but we know that they are not. They are merely clinging to the surface of the tree. Their links with the tree are not deep, and ivy does not partake of the life and sap of the tree. If it is an apple tree that the ivy is on, the ivy bears no apples. Or if it's a beech tree that it winds itself around, it bears no beech nuts. That is how you know a false Christian. They do not bear the fruits of Christ. The end for such is most fearful. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 6. Finally, the only real and satisfactory proof that a person is a Christian is fruit. Luke chapter 6, the verse 44 reads, "For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes." Those are the words of Christ. Just what are the fruits that we speak of? Quite simply, we speak of repentance toward God and faith in the atoning work of Christ. These are the first fruits. But the Christian bears much more fruit, and that all the year round. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Galatians chapter 5, the verses 22 to 26. There is fruit that brings joy and contentment to the individual himself, and there is fruit that all who encounter that believer enjoys. Not only is there fruit-bearing, but there is to be seen in the life of a true believer the ongoing labors to bring about more fruit. Paul refers to the fact that they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. In order to promote fruit, there must be a tackling of the weeds that spring up from our old nature, the sins that would smother the good growth were they not constantly cut down and curtailed. In our passage in John, this work is attributed to God the Father. "Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Verse 2. The purging is done by the labors of the Christian, but the inclination to purge is granted to them by the grace of God. It is stated like this in Philippians chapter 2 in the verse 13. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Dear listener, is there that working of God's power within your life? Is the fruit of the Spirit to be seen in you? If you have not yet come to Christ, may you be drawn to him today, and may you fall before him and receive him as your Savior. Do remember our program this evening at 9 o'clock. God bless you, and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here, and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.